Oh, we are learning to live in the way of the untroubled heart. And I want to invite you to take a moment right now and reflect on how much trouble has your day seen, 1 to 10? How much peace has your heart known, 1 to 10? And what could you learn through this? If you're listening but not watching, you might not be able to see. You will not be able to see it. Behind me is what is known as the Pacific Ocean. I thought I would come there as we talk about an untroubled heart. Pacific is a beautiful word to make peaceful. And Jesus wants to do that for you and for me. Not like pacifying a baby, not by distracting us, not by necessarily giving us peaceful circumstances, but giving us an untroubled heart from the inside.
What did you
Am I enough?
Get?
The way did I respond to
that? Oh my gosh.
You made
oh,
a opinion such a... in this earth
why
for
why
not causing me anxiety.
I'm such a failure.
What have you guys?
It doesn't take much in my day to trouble my heart. I had to come here because when I was home, there were people making noise in the neighborhood, and so I couldn't record this at home. That troubled me. Then on the way here, I got in a stoplight where I had to sit through three iterations of red, green, red, green, red, green, and then get behind a car who would not assert himself at the middle of the intersection, and that troubled my heart. Doesn't take much to trouble my heart. We're learning about that together, and how do we turn our hearts over to God? So now we come to one of the great statements in all of the Bible. Jesus says to his disciples, don't let your heart be too troubled. They're facing his leaving and betrayal and denial and failure. And this, by the way, is a translation of the passage from a wonderful commentary on John by Dale Bruner. My disciples, don't let your hearts be too troubled. Believe into God. Believe into me too, please. On my Father's estate, there are many homes. Now, it's not about the houses. Nancy and I used to live in the Chicago area in a place called Hoffman Estates. It, she always thought that was ironic, because estates has a rather grand sound to it. I mentioned the old King James Version said, "My Father's house are many mansions." But in the 17th century, mansion was a word used for a relatively modest dwelling. I know of people involved in ministry. They live in a 90-year-old, 1,850-square-foot cottage that somebody who wanted to criticize them called a mansion, which... kind of funny. So it's not about the house. The main thing to know about what Jesus is talking about is it will be life with him. It will be life with the Father. That's what we're being invited to. But starting right here, right now. On my Father's estate, there are many homes. It says wonderful things about God. God's heart is more and more and more and more. Come on, everybody come. If this were not the case, what I've said to you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I'm going to prepare a place for you, do you know what that means? It means I am coming back again to take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be as well. I have a friend named Max, who passed away a few years ago. He's married many years to Esther. He was a remarkably high-functioning leader. But whenever he talked about home, he would always say, "For me, home is wherever Esther is." Now for Jesus, home is wherever the Father is. And actually, home is a difficult thing for him during his adult ministry. He said one time, "Birds have the nests and foxes have their dens, but the Son of Man has no place to lay down his head." Home's kind of a hard thing to define, but it's the place where you belong. It's especially the place where you are safe. And he was never physically safe. But in this world, he believed that his very life, this very world, even though Herod was after him, was a safe place to be because the Father was watching over you. That's the invitation for us. It means I'm coming back again to take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be as well. And you know the way to where I am going. Now, it might be helpful here to think about all the disciples sitting there nodding their heads. Yes, we know where you're going. Yes, we know the way. Even though in reality, they did not have a clue. You ever ask directions to get someplace and somebody tells you, "Well, go three blocks, turn right, and then you see a blue building, turn left, and then when you get to the evergreen tree, take another right," and then walk away, say to the person that you're with, "I have no idea what that person was talking about. Do you have any?" "I don't have any idea either." And what happens here is somebody actually speaks up. Thomas said, "Lord, we don't have the foggiest idea where you're going. So how can we know the way there?" Jesus, you are not the teacher that you're supposed to be. Jesus says they know the place and they know the way. And Thomas says, though we don't, this was not on the syllabus, wasn't in the curriculum, better not be on the final. He is accusing Jesus of poor pedagogy. Now, Jesus can handle this. And by the way, when you have that sense, I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. I don't know enough. Jesus can handle our having that conversation with him. And that's what's going on right here. Thank God for Thomas. Jesus is going to make one of the great statements in self-definition ever. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And he does that because Thomas is willing to be honest and say, I don't know the way. Now, what Jesus is saying is, actually, yeah, you do. See, Thomas is very much like me. I it's interesting to me, often people say, we're kind of supposed to relate to Peter. Yeah, Peter is this constantly impulsive guy. He's an external processor. He thinks before he talks. I don't relate to Peter all that much. Everybody says you're supposed to, you know, Peter's this very relatable disciple, not so much for me. Thomas, I kind of get. It's very interesting. In the Gospel of John, three different times, it refers to him as Thomas, also known as Didymus. When they're going to go to Lazarus after Lazarus has died, Thomas, also known as Didymus, says, well, let's go to Jerusalem and we'll die with Jesus there. And then after the resurrection, the other disciples have seen it, but Thomas, also known as Didymus, John chapter 20, I think verse 24, says, unless I can put my hands in the holes in his body, I will not believe. And then chapter 21, verse 2. Again, Thomas, though his Didymus is there with the resurrected Jesus. Now, why does it refer to him that way? Well, Thomas was an Aramaic word that means twin. And Didymus is the Greek word that means the same thing. It means twin. So John is saying twin. And there's an interesting dynamic here. In our day, we often think of multiple births, twin. Really good news. Way to go. Not so in the ancient world. Childbirth was quite dangerous, and women often died in it. Multiple births, even more dangerous. Not just that. When twins were born, it would mess up primogeniture. Who's going to inherit what? So in the Old Testament, Jacob and Esau, a lot of problems between those boys because they were wrestling with who's going to get the birthright. And then Perez and Zerah, a little bit more obscure twins. But in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, same thing. They created a mess in the family. Twins had a quite negative association in the ancient world. And it's very possible that the reason John keeps pointing out Thomas' twin is there was this kind of duality, this kind of two-person, two-faced. Thomas is a disciple of Jesus, but he's also a doubter in Jesus. In the book of Matthew, at the very end of anything, of their time with Jesus, when he's going to leave, and he gives them the Great Commission, we're told that they worshipped him, but so doubted. And I'm guessing Thomas was one of them. And I kind of get that. And what Thomas is saying to Jesus is, I want certainty. I want no risk. I want a guarantee. I want absolute assurance. I want to know they got to let me into that home when I come there. It's a little like you go stay at a hotel, you call them up, you give you credit card information, and then they give you a confirmation number. So when I show up, they cannot keep me out. But Jesus has a different way of thinking about trust. Often, we turn our relationship to God or our concerns about the afterlife into that. I want to know what's the arrangement, what's the formula, how can I know for sure? So I give you a little different picture. Our oldest child, Laura, goes off to college, and for the first time we're away from her for quite a while, and then she calls up and says, Mom, Dad, I'm coming home. I would be here on this day. Oh, man, I'm so hungry to see you. I can't wait. Now imagine if she would have said, so what's my confirmation number? Well, no. I'm not going to give you a confirmation. Oh, yeah. How will I know for sure there's a room for me in my Father's house? It's not because you trust the confirmation number. It's not because you trust the arrangement. You trust me. You trust the Father. And that's what Jesus is laying out here. Now, this is a real important part of spiritual life, of life together with our friends, Jesus. We are not given a map. You know, when you get a map, you're in control. You have all the information that you want. You decide when, you decide where. With Jesus, we're not given a map. We're given a guide.
I am the way, the truth,
and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, he's not shutting people out there.
Sometimes people, when they read this, they think what he's saying is, if you want to go to the good place after you die, you have to affirm certain minimal things about me or else we won't let you in. And I won't tell you what those minimal things are. You have to wrestle and argue with that one.
He is not saying that. When he talks about what life is, John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God. That is, that we enter into a participatory, engaging, conversational, experiential life together with God, beginning right here in God's creation, which is part of his world, and then death can't interrupt that. It's a strange thing about us. Often we are guilty of what might be called strategic incompetence. Dear, I would love to change the light bulbs, but I just don't know how. We have friends that actually sent me itinerary specs on how to change a roll of toilet paper. John and Nina, thank you so much. I actually do know how to do that. But it can be kind of to our interest to have. I really don't know. You know, paying taxes, managing my finances, how to express emotion to somebody. I don't really know how to, as a way of evading responsibility. And Jesus comes to us and says, no, you don't. You know more. You know things that you don't think that you know. You know, so, for example, when it comes to the spiritual life, classic picture of this is in the prophetic book of Micah, where the prophet kind of parrots what people will sometimes say. What does the Lord require? Does he want burnt offerings? Shall I bring him a lamb? Should I bring him 1,000 rams? Should I bring him 10,000 rivers of olive oil? And then he goes on. No, no, you know, oh man. What is good, the Lord has shown you what he requires. Do justice, love mercy, and then walk humbly before you, God. And nobody, when they see God one day, can say, oh gosh, I didn't know, I had no idea. So now our friend Jesus is saying to us, in the midst of our troubled world, you know where I'm going, and above all that is to be with the Father.
As Dallas would say, I'm quite certain when it comes to the afterlife in heaven, God will allow everybody there who can possibly stand it to be with the Father.
But it begins right here, right now. How do we do that? We do that through Jesus. His way of life that we see in the Gospels, in his teaching, that is to be our way. And it's not rocket science. Do justice, or principle of justice is treat people according to their worth. Love, mercy, walk humbly before your God. So today, you know all that you need to know to keep you quite busy with it today. Seek to do the next right thing that there is to do, even if it's scary, especially if it scares you a little bit. The road to an untroubled heart travels through a trouble. Do the next right thing together with him. Don't complain, I don't know enough. You know enough to be with Jesus. You know enough to follow Jesus. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. So the request today, Father, show me the way. From one moment to the next, when I'm not sure, when I feel troubled, I pause and I listen again to that sound. And I remember the one who created all this is the one who was with me, who says to me, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I don't like uncertainty, but I don't have to have certainty. God knows how much would be good for me and how much would not. He's the way. He's the God. God I'm after to guide. Live today with an untroubled heart.
Hey, before you click off, go ahead and hit the subscribe button to our YouTube channel. That'll help us reach more folks. Become New is dedicated to growing spiritually one day at a time, and we do that through brief teachings each weekday. So if you subscribe, you won't miss any future episodes, and we'd love to hear from you. So you can chime in the comments here, or if you're not a part of our Facebook group, right now we're doing something interesting. I'm posting a video there each day to correspond with the video that's released here. with a question that you can engage with, and I'd love to have you add your voice to that conversation. So you can find the link to that Facebook group in the description below. You can also find the link to follow us on Instagram or X, where we post regular inspirational posts throughout the week to encourage you in your spiritual growth journey. If you have a prayer request, there's a group of us who meet each weekday to pray for viewers just like yourself. So be sure to not carry that burden alone. We would love to come alongside you. You can text your request to the number 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomeyou.com. Remember, the most important thing about your life is the person you become. We'll see you next time.